welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
I'm sure if we sit today and we look back at this year, it feels like the year was, as Scripture like to call our lives, was but a vapor. It was so quick. I mean, next week is December already. For me, it's crazy how quickly this year went by. But I'm also sure that even though the year might have been quick for some of us, there were many, many challenges during this year as well. Rough patches, relation-wise, work-wise, study-wise, financially. And so I'm sure we all had something to share with one another, even if it's one thing to say, no, I'm thankful for this. But the reality is, if we are sitting this morning, perhaps in despair, with no hope, the reality is that God is still good and God is so in control. And He is right in the center of your life. Whether we want Him there or not, God is just so good and He wants the best for us. Personally, this was a crazy year as well, of many good things, of some bad things. I have a bag full of testimonies just to testify of God's greatness and His mercy and His grace. You know, God's grace is amazing because it's through that which we are saved. And for a sinner like me, it gives me access to our Father. So thank the Lord for that. And this morning, I don't have a long message to share with you, but this morning, you know, all I want us to take away from this is to know that God is good. And this morning, let every word that comes from my mouth just testify of God's goodness and His greatness and His provision He has made for us. And I want us to read together in Scripture, and we're also going to do quite a bit of reading today. But let's start off in Hebrews 6 from verse 13. It says, the certainty of God's promise. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless you and multiply you. And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes an oath is final for confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of His purpose, He guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We sang in one of the songs this morning that Christ who tore the veil for us all. Here we read that Christ is a forerunner as the high priest tearing the veil. And we all probably know that before Christ came, the people went to worship God. Once a year, the high priest went into the temple, but he went into a place where they only went once a year, and there was this big curtain, this big veil, and then God's wanted to speak to the high priest there, which the high priest can come out and then speak to the people. And this happened once a year. And we all know that when Jesus walked the earth, He said, you know what, in 3 days, the temple will be destroyed, and in 3 days it will be raised up. And we all know when Jesus got crucified, the temple was destroyed, but it's not so much about the temple. But that veil, that curtain in the temple, it was completely torn. What does that mean if we have to think of God's presence as a tabernacle behind that curtain, which we could have accessed once a year? Now it is torn, so that means there's no veil. There's no limit. Jesus gave us the access to our Father 24/7 every single day through going before us to tear the veil open. And in verse 18, we read of a hope saying, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. And this hope is an expectation, a trust, a confidence. But then in verse 19, we read again of a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain. And this is a safe, reliable, trustworthy, a certain, a sure place. As God is God who cannot lie, He gives us such a security, such a hope that is unfailing, that is safe, that is secure in Him. Meaning that we should never ever doubt God, never ever feel insecure, never feel unsafe, especially with the things which you say, God, here I am, here's my life, or here's this relationship, here is my finances. Lord, I put my hope in You as my anchor, as my provider. God's hope, His love is unfailing. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13 says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted behind your ability, but with the temptation He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. God is a father. And I'm sure as any good father, He will not make His kids go through something which they're not sure they can either make through or there's a way out of it. And God is the same. We all have trials. We all have been through seasons or perhaps are in a season where we just see, Lord, there's no escape. My finances will not cut this. My relationship, there's no hope. God will never let us go through anything which we cannot overcome or get out of. And for me, this scripture just so resembles a part of God's heart, of His investment in us. You know, God had all the right to just pull the strings in the sand and tell us, do this and do that. And instead, every single situation which we go through, whether through our disobedience or not, He makes it work out for the good. He still makes us learn a good and valuable lesson out of it. But for His purposes, He makes us go through things. Why? In order to test our hearts. But it will never be to a degree to our dismay or our failure, but always to our overcoming in Christ. God is wanting to encourage us for this last stretch of the year that is ahead. I don't know what God has been speaking to you about or what He's doing in your life, but I know that God doesn't want us to take anything into the next year, which I can use another word for, but it's unfinished business. I'm sure that we have received a word from God saying that this is what He wants to do in us and establish in us this year. But also believe that, you know, this year is crazy and our schedules get hectic, that some of those things are not completed yet. But God wants to give us hope and encouragement for this last stretch, just saying that He wants to complete the promises and the things that He wants to do in your life. That come next year, we can just so focus on the new promises, and the new hope, and the new life set before us. God's heart is to complete the work which He has started in you, and He will do it. 2 Timothy 2:30 says, if we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Even in this process, if God has given us a requirement to do steps A, B, and C, but we haven't been able to do any of it, you know what? God is still faithful in all those things. So this morning is not as much a message about we should look back at this year and think of the things we were supposed to do and failed perhaps to do it. But it's more of a message saying, look at your life today. What does God still want to do in this year? And hold fast to the hope which is in God. Let us all grow and mature in the calling of which God has called us to, into His purposes. So that we will use this time effectively ahead of us to grow in Christ. God is leading us into the eternal and secure hope in Him for the next year. to have a solid foundation in truth and spirit. And that foundation is that God will never fail us. And to know that our hope is secure in Him. But now, what is this hope in God? Oh, we read about it in Scripture. We know that God says that faith, hope, and love. We can think of a bunch of references. But in us as individuals, in us as families, we have certain things which we hope for. Right? And I've been to some eastern countries and it is so hectic. I don't know if you've ever been to some places, but the only thing you see on people's faces are hopelessness. And that is such a crazy thing to see, where for whatever reason, whether demonic or not, or circumstance-wise, you know, that's irrelevant in this stage, but this, to see people living with complete, utter no hope. Not even in Christ, but just for daily things. Not hoping, Lord, that this year I hope to achieve this. This year I hope to get married. This year I hope to achieve this position in a company. This year I hope for whatever. I cannot imagine to have a life where there is no hope. So what are we supposed to do with this hope? We as children of God, God calls us to place his hope in him, because the hope in God is secure, is safe, is unfailing, it endures. But with that hope is a very important element which we need to attach it to in our lives, and that element is faith. And I want us to read a bit of scripture this morning out of Hebrews 11 from verse 1 to 29. And here it speaks about faith. So let's read together. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And though his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being, and I lost my place. Excuse me. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledge that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he, who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of his sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. For he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch him. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. And then Scripture goes on to give more examples of faith, of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets. Now, faith is assurance of things hoped for. To all sit today, and we have a hope in something to accomplish, a hope to be fulfilled with the things in Christ, and a hope for next year. We read quite a long portion of Scripture right now, just of some of the legends of the Word. Everything they had to do, they had a hope, they had a word, but they had to go out in faith. And the best example for me out of all of these, you know, is Noah and the ark. His hope was to save his household. Receiving a word from God saying, "Listen, Noah, it's going to rain." Okay? Noah receiving this word in a land, in a world where it has never rained before. We're like, "Okay, Lord, if you tell me to board a boat, it's going to rain, it's great. He will do it." And not having a reference of what rain is, it's something different. It's something else. So Noah had this hope, which could only be fulfilled through his act of faith. We all know the story. He bought the ark, I don't know for how long, about 100 years or something. He bought the ark, and it rained. And Noah's family saved and made righteous out of the world that's condemned. So we have things which we are hoping for and trusting God for, but the measure in which we need to approach it is as the foundation of trusting God with it. But then God requires us to live as if we have already received it, in a sense. Noah had to board the ark with the trying to have a reference of what rain is and what God would do, having an urgency to complete this project, to fulfill this hope. And I have quite a recent personal example in my life as well. We're needing to I had to find favor with a person in my life, and I'm not speaking about a girl. I had to find favor with this person in a very difficult situation. Where, you know, the first reaction and the first couple of months' reaction, it was just a rejection. But God has challenged me to live and just handle the situation in a way that I've already received the outcome which I've wanted. My outcome was for me, for this person to accept me as a son, to be a father for me. That was my hope. So I had to enter and live and speak and pray and breathe in the situation as if he already sees me as that. And as Scripture faith proves to be true, you know what, he sees me as his son. He accepts me into His household and He bestowed His blessings upon my life. So yes, there are trials, there are tribulations. Noah was mocked for more than 100 years of, you know, why, what are you doing? Like, you're crazy. What's rain? But he had to live as if already received. And I want to challenge you this morning that whatever things you're hoping for and perhaps not have received the desirable outcome or receiving that hope, we need to step out in faith. Whether we are trusting Lord for this relationship to be restored or accepting or receiving this thing, we need to change our lives and our thinking as we've already received it. The same as our good examples we have in Scripture. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful." He who promised is faithful. And you know what? God sees the desires of our hearts. And God's desire is to fulfill them for us. An example I can think of, is I always try to make things relevant to us. I'm sure many fathers that are fathers here today, you do the same. But when I was younger, I wanted to try every single sport there is. Okay, so in order to play cricket, you know, you need to have all the bells and whistles. You need to have all the pads, the bat, and all those things. You see the importance of a helmet. I tried so many different sports, you know what? And we really didn't have any money growing up. So my dad, my parents tried to do the utmost best to get me these things in order for me to do these things that I wanted. So they saw the desire in my heart, and they did whatever they could possibly do for me to engage in it and to grow in it. You know, needless to say, I don't do any of those things anymore. I don't even know where the stuff is which they gave to me. But for me, that is just the same, this element of God's heart that we come to Him with His desires, and He sees, like, you know what, you're just going to do this for 2 months and you're just going to leave it. But still, He wants to fulfill our desires because He loves us. And the same is if we put this trust in God, His promise is faithful for us. Ephesians 3:20 to 21 says, "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power of work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever." Amen. And I want us to, Scripture, read a confession of our hope. You know, you can just read in a way that we need to say, tell God, declare it to Him, "Lord, this is a hope. This is hope of mine." I want us this morning to bring our hopes before God and say, "Lord, that whether it seems to this degree impossible or whatever reasons we may attach to it, let's bring it before God and just declare, Lord, our confession in You, let it be unwavering because You are faithful to complete Your promise in our lives. Your heart's desires to give us our heart's desires." So on this morning at the band, you guys can start coming to the front, please. On this morning that as the worship team starts to play and to minister, let's engage with God. And I don't know when last it's been which we have actually declared a hope of ours to God, saying, "Lord, you know, I'm hoping. This is a hope of me for the rest of this year. This is my hope for 2015. Let's bring it before God and declare His promises over it. And then I'm sure God will come and say, "Listen, I hear you. But let's put that faith into action." There needs to be a reaction to God's response in that moment again. So practically what it will look like after confessing our hopes to God. That means during this week or the weeks to come, if God calls you to complete a certain thing He started in you this year, that means it needs to be a reaction and a response to God's word. I mean that we need to start changing things or step out even perhaps to a place of being ridiculed. But just so that God can just fulfill fulfill His hopes and His promises in us. Because we see the effects it had for Noah, for Moses, for Enoch. Oh, that's amazing. So you're more than welcome to stand and sit. I'm finished with the word this morning. But let's engage with Christ before we head out here and just bring our hopes before Him. Say, Lord, this is my hope. Now we're going to pray, and then we can engage with God. Thank you, Father, that, Lord, we can just see throughout all Scripture, Lord, through fiery trials, Lord, through people moving through the Red Sea, Father, of Moses, of David, of Noah, Lord, that all these people had a hope in You, God. And the evidence we see in Scripture, Lord, is their hope was secure in You. And more than that, Father, that You are faithful, Lord, to complete the work. So, Lord, this morning, we thank You, Lord, for Your work in our lives, Lord. This morning, God, we want to confess to You our hopes. And we want to give it to You, Lord, knowing it's secure and founded in You. And then we just declare, God, we know that You are so faithful to complete it, to complete Your promises in and through our lives, Lord. Because we pray, Lord, that through these hopes fulfilled, Lord, our security in You, Lord, that our lives will ultimately reflect Christ. Lord, that these things will bear testimony of Your greatness, Your mercy, Your grace, Your faithfulness, Lord. I pray, Father, that after that, as we go, Lord, into this week, You would guide us, You would lead us, You would protect us. Every step we take, every word we say, and every thought we think, Lord, that it will be full of love, compassion for one another. Let us truly be vessels this week for Your kingdom and Your purposes.
Listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church, we believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.